We'll get started here this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'll go ahead and get those, and you can open up if you would. We're going to be in John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4 this morning, and we'll get into our lesson. Is that your sermon in there? All right. John chapter 4 is where we'll be this morning. Before we get started, we'll have a word of prayer here in a second, but maybe someone this morning has something encouraging you'd like to share with us this morning. Anybody? Yes, sir. Oh, no. That's correct. Amen. Yes. We'll get into our lesson here in a moment. The Lord's going to reach someone who would be someone that if you're not careful, you would maybe think of her in a negative light. You know, even lost people this morning, we have to understand God loves a lost person just like he does one of his own children. And in fact, there's not anyone in this world that God doesn't love, that doesn't want to see them saved this morning. We're going to look at that. Anybody else this morning? You'd like to share anything this morning? Anybody? No? Okay, then we'll get into our lesson this morning. We'll, of course, be right here in John chapter 4. Let's do pray, and we'll ask for the Lord's blessings and the Lord's help, and we'll look here. I think it's a tremendous chapter to look at. We'll find the Lord witnessing to a woman, and I think there's a lot of things we can actually learn here about how to work with people, how to try to reach people with the gospel, and we'll look at that. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for this time that we have. We pray for your blessings upon our hour, and Lord, as we look into your word, we pray that you would, Lord, guide, lead, and direct, and Lord, our minds and in our hearts. And Lord, may we learn this morning, and may we be challenged to be a witness in this world that we live in. Lord, this is a dark world, a dark day we live in. But God, we realize this morning that we have a light, and we pray that you would help us to do all that we can to spread the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may you help us there. Lord, we do pray for the lost this morning. There may be someone that we know of, and Lord, it could be someone maybe that lives right next door to us, or maybe, Lord, maybe it's someone that we have in our family, or maybe it's a friend that needs to be saved. We just pray that you would, Lord, challenge us this morning to do all that we can to try to reach them before it's too late. We do pray for the lost, that you would give conviction in their heart. Lord, give us power and give us wisdom that we could say the right things, that we could lead them, Lord, to the understanding that they need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. We do pray for those that are sick this morning, those that are not maybe physically doing well. We just pray for them that you would heal them this morning. We pray, Lord, for this nation that we live in. We pray for revival. We pray, Lord, for a spiritual stirring and a spiritual awakening in our land. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do just that. We pray now that you bless our time that we study this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter number 4. Is for our lesson this morning. I don't know how many verses there are, 54 verses in the chapter. We're not going to cover all 54 verses this morning, but we'll kind of dive off into the chapter, and we'll get as far as we can maybe here this morning as well. Now, before we get into our lesson, last week, and I didn't get all the way through the lesson last week. I got close, but not all the way. Last week, we found that there was a man that had something stirred in his heart, in his mind. He was inquisitive of Jesus Christ, and that was a man by the name of Nicodemus. He goes to Jesus Christ. He goes to him at night and carries on a conversation with Christ about being born again. In fact, it was Jesus Christ that comments to Nicodemus in the previous chapter and says, "Except a man be born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus struggled. He didn't quite understand. Jesus Christ tried to and work with him in discussing a little bit, used some earthly examples. He used wind as an example. He also used water as an example to try to help Nicodemus understand what it meant to be born again. Nicodemus, if you remember, he was confused. He was looking at it as in the physical realm and not the spiritual realm. He was looking at it, you know, how am I going to go back to my mom and re-enter into her womb and yet be born again as an adult? Physically speaking, it was impossible. But Christ was very patient with him and very, and goes to great lengths to try to do all that he can to help him to understand. Now, many people will maybe question, does Nicodemus get saved? You can find that, in fact, we're going to actually get to it in lessons down the road, but the name Nicodemus and the person Nicodemus, he's going to be listed two more times, and actually in the book of John. I believe it's John chapter number 7. You'll find that he actually speaks up when there's a debate about Jesus Christ and there's a group there debating it. He does speak up for Jesus Christ. And then if you go on in John chapter number 19, Nicodemus' name is going to be found again. And he's going to be there when the body of Christ, actually to help with the embalming, if you would, of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, personally, I have no doubts Nicodemus gets saved and gets born again. So the working of Christ and witnessing unto him does pay off there for him. So we find that last week in John chapter number 3 that it was Nicodemus that goes to Jesus Christ. He goes and seeks out Christ, goes there, if you remember, at night with a question in his mind. And I believe that there was some conviction in his heart. I believe he was struggling and he wanted to know more. So he goes to Jesus Christ and he seeks out Christ at night. Now, in John chapter 4, we're going to find a little bit of a different scenario here. Jesus Christ is going to go and seek out a woman. So Nicodemus went to Christ. I think we find here in this chapter Christ going to someone. And we'll look at that here in chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John." Verse number 2, "though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples." So we find there in verse number 1 and 2 something interesting, and I'm not going to spend any time here. The Bible says that Jesus made disciples here. He has a larger following and has more disciples now than John the Baptist, if you would. Jesus himself, the Bible says here, he did not personally baptize, but his disciples did the baptizing for him. For instance, this morning in our church here, Jesus Christ doesn't appear in the flesh to baptize someone. We baptize as a disciple of Christ as well. So we find here in verse number 2, it says, "though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples." And that was something that he had delegated to them and gave them the authority to be able to baptize those who were born again. So then we go to verse number 3. It says here, "he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." So he's going to leave here. He's going to go to Galilee, as we find here in verse number 3. So it gives you the destination and the footsteps, or the trail, if you would, of the footsteps of Jesus Christ. He's going there for a purpose, and some of the other books kind of give you a little bit more in-depth of reasoning of probably why he's going there. We're not going to go off into that this morning, but we find here that he's going to leave Judea in verse number 3. He's going to depart there and go into Galilee. Verse number 4 is very important, and he must needs go through, what's that last word? Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Now, that's very, very key, and you have to understand a little bit of the history of what is taking place here as well in verse number 4. The word must, if you would, it's an expression of necessity. It means it's a great necessity that I go through there. Now, the great necessity is going to be there's going to be a woman there that needs to be born again. It's going to be a woman of Samaria. Now, then it also kind of indicates here something else in verse number 4. You have to understand the history and understand the time and day that this is taking place. Most Jews would always bypass going through Samaria. Jewish people did not like Samaritans at all. In fact, they did not want a chance even coming into contact with a Samaritan. So if you were a Jew and you were leaving, as we find here, Judea in verse number 3, and if you were going to Galilee, they would actually go around and actually go a little longer trip to get unto Galilee to bypass Samaria because they, I'm going to be honest with you, they hated Samaritans. They didn't like them. They didn't socialize together. They did not come into contact with one another. They didn't want a chance of even coming in contact with a Samaritan. So therefore, they would bypass this particular area. So when it says in verse number 4 that he must needs go through Samaria, I don't know that we quite fully understand verse number four here of of what that verse is actually meaning and what it implies here, that Jesus Christ was going to do something that Jews just do not do. They do not go through Samaria. But it says here he must needs go through Samaria in verse number 4. Then we find in verse number 5, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, verse number 6, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So we find here that Jesus Christ, on his way to Galilee, is going to go through a city in Samaria, which is called Sychar. And when he gets here, because of the weary of the journey, and by the way, it was a pretty good distance that he has traveled up to this point. And just remember here that he's going through an area that Jews just don't go through. And he goes to a well, and we find here that it's actually Jacob's well, and he sits there on that well. Now, it wasn't just by chance that this happens. This is all in the plan of God, if you would, here, because there's a woman that's about to come to the well to draw water. We find that he's a little bit on the tired side in verse number 6. We find that he's sitting on this well. It's Jacob's well in verse number 6, and it's about the sixth hour. So the Bible describes pretty much in the detail. And by the way, John gives a lot of detail on the travel matters, if you would, of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He gives you locations. He gives you, he mentions here that not only is he in this city here, but he's also at Jacob's well. He sits on the well here, if you would. He gives you the time of the day as well here in verse number 6. So Jesus stops at Jacob's well here. Jesus goes here for a particular reason. Why is he going here? Because there is a woman of Samaria, a Samaritan woman that is about to approach the well here, and as we would describe it, a sinful woman. She would not be someone that would make, she wouldn't want to be someone you'd want teaching Sunday school in your church. She lives a lifestyle. In fact, the Bible's going to describe some of her lifestyle here, and we'll kind of get to that as well. So let's just move on. Verse number 7, then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now, this is the reason Jesus Christ is going to go through an area that Jews always bypass. He's going there for this particular woman. I kind of try to put myself in this story here. This woman has no idea who she's about to meet. It was just another day for her. It's just another day of going and drawing water out of the well. It's not her first time there. She's been there numerous, hundreds, maybe thousands of times. I don't know how many times she's been to this well, but It was just in her ordinary day that she goes to this well. It's Jacob's well, and she's going to draw water here. And lo and behold, she never knew the day that she arose that morning, and when she opened her eyes that morning, she didn't realize that she was actually going to see the very Son of God. She had no idea that she was going to come into contact with Jesus Christ. She didn't know that on this day is going to be the day that changes her life forever. But up she arises that day, and we find in verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now you have to understand something here. I don't know exactly how this happens, but she approaches the well. She doesn't make the first comment. I don't know that she even really pays much attention to this person that's sitting there at the well. And you have to realize that Jesus is the one that begins the conversation here. He begins the conversation by making a statement, give me to drink. Now, I don't know that we quite understand exactly all that just took place in verse number 7. Because when verse number 7 takes place and when Jesus talks to her and communicates with her, Jesus crosses all barriers of social customs. Jews don't speak to Samaritans. And especially a Jewish man does not speak to a Samaritan woman. This was unheard of. This was crossing all the social barriers and customs of that day. Jesus did not have, Jews did not have anything to do with the Samaritans. And here's Jesus Christ not only talking to a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman in a public place. And he asks, or tells her in verse number 7, give me to drink. Verse number 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So the disciples are not with him. They've gone to buy something to eat because it's been a long day and a long journey up to this point. So they're off taking care of the business of getting them food together to eat. So Jesus Christ is by himself speaking to her one on one. You have to understand this is all in the hands of God. I believe that it was designed on purpose by God this way. I think it's more effective this way. I don't know. Maybe if all the disciples were there, it might have been distracted from the seriousness of the hour here, because this is a woman that's lost that needs to be saved here. So they're gone away in verse number 8. Jesus is now at Jacob's well. He's sitting there. He's even weary because of the day. This Samaritan woman walks up. Jesus starts the conversation by asking of her, give me to drink, in verse number 7. Verse number 9, it says, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She's shocked. I think she's surprised. She has to be. A Jewish man never speaks to a Samaritan woman. And she is taken back. She is surprised. She asked the question here, in as we find here in verse number 9, and says, this saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews, at the end of verse number 9, have no dealings with the, what? Samaritan. No dealings. And yet you ask me something. She realized something's really wrong here. No Jew ever talks to a Samaritan woman. No Jew even wants to come into contact with a Samaritan. That's why they don't even come through this area. And I mean, you have to think in her mind, she's saying, what are you even doing here? How in the world did you find your way to Jacob's well? And why are you at Jacob's well? And out of and how in the world could you speak to me and ask of me, give me to drink, as he asked in verse number 7. So in verse number 9, she is surprised. She questions here, what in the world is going on here that a Jewish man would speak unto her? Now, you have to realize also something else that's very, very important. A Jew would never, ever, ever drink out of a vessel from a Samaritan. In fact, you'll find that a Jew would become, actually, as the Jews would look at it, if you drink out of her vessel, you would become ceremonially unclean because you drink out of a vessel handled by a Samaritan. That's how much they hated the Samaritans. So asking not only to drink, but he was asking for a drink of water from her vessel that she has at the well because she's about to draw water out of that well. So you have to realize there's a lot of things happening here that are totally contrary to the norm. She's blown away. She's surprised. She can't understand how in the world would you ask of me for a drink of water. You know, I believe this in life. We all agree this morning that we live in a very unusual time in this life that we live. And you know, there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of problems in this world. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. You can just look at people and realize you got a lot of problems. You can tell by the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they act, just their look about them. And a lot of times their appearance tells you a lot about their lifestyle. And I'm afraid sometimes do we bypass those because we feel like they're too hard, they're too far gone. You know, I'll be honest with you. I think there's a lot of people in this world that's lost that would probably be surprised if a Christian ever spoke to them about the Lord. This woman's surprised. She's shocked. She's amazed. She's taken back. She's probably, she probably had to grab her heart. She probably thought she was going to have a heart attack that a Jewish man would even speak to her. Yet ask her for something to drink out of her vessel where Jews would even think that if you do that, you'll become unclean because you drink out of a vessel handled by a Samaritan. I'm afraid sometimes we as believers this morning, we kind of bypass the hardened people of this world we live in when they need the gospel as much as anybody. We shouldn't shy away from witnessing to someone based on where they're from or who they are or whether they're Spanish, black, white, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they, in fact, we're going to get into her lifestyle right here. You're going to find out she lives a pretty rough life. But she needs the gospel. She needs to be saved. She needs to be born again. And everybody we pass, and you know, I'm amazed today at how people look. I'm just blown away at what people do to their bodies. I mean, from the tattoos of this day, and pray tell me how in the world can somebody have $50,000 worth of tattoos on their body and use food stamps when they check out? I don't understand that one. They've got things in their ears that make holes that big. I mean, just sickening looking things. They've got piercings all over their body. I don't know what it is with the purple hair and wild, you know, fluorescent looking hair. I don't know. I may be wrong, and God forgive me if I am, but it just doesn't portray to me that it's someone that loves God. But we bypass them. Why? Because they're hard. Could be maybe we need to look at it a little different. Maybe it's just someone who's crying out and saying, I'm out of control and I just need some help. The way people talk today, the vulgar language that people use, and for some reason they think it's supposed to impress everybody, and it doesn't impress me at all. But maybe we ought to look at it that it's indicators that it's someone who needs to be born again. This woman here, verse number 9, she's just, what did you do? Ask, what are you doing even speaking to me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, and you're asking me for something to drink? You're going to actually drink out of my vessel here? If I draw water, you're going to take a drink out of it, and you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. And that last little phrase of verse number 9, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, none. And yes, he's going to deal with her. Verse number 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink. And she does not realize, she does not understand that it's Jesus Christ. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what kind of water? Living water. You've got to understand something here. I kind of wondered a little bit. Jesus Christ, he gets to the well first. It's Jacob's well. He's sitting there. He understands, I think, and knows that there's a woman approaching. She's a Samaritan woman, and she needs to be saved. And I think that Jesus Christ, one of the great things about the ministry of Jesus Christ, he always takes common things that people are associated with to use it as an illustration about salvation. Now, he's sitting at a what? A what? He's sitting at a well, and guess what he's going to use? He's going to use water as an example. Now, when you get to verse number 10, that last two words, we're not talking, he's talking about the spiritual realm or a spiritual matter in living water. There's a difference between water in that well and the living water that Jesus Christ offers. But he is going to use something here that this woman is very, very associated with. She understands water. She draws it every day of her life. She comes to this well every single day of her life and draws water out of that well. And Jesus Christ says, I think I'll use water as an example here of how this lady needs to be born again. But he's speaking of living water. So we find here she's surprised, number one, that he speaks here, but he does direct the conversation. He is the one that asked the question first, give me to drink, in verse number 7. And he comments here again, as we find in verse number 10 here. And Jesus is now going to direct the conversation around what he classifies as living water. Now, he's working with her and going to try to help her to understand a little bit about salvation. Verse number 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? So she's a little confused here. She's still thinking about the physical. She's trying to figure out, now how in the world are you going to draw water when you don't even have a vessel? She's thinking about the physical water of that well. Jesus Christ is speaking about the spiritual matter here, that is of living water. She goes on in verse number 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? So just like Nicodemus, she's having a hard time quite grasping and understanding what is it that Jesus Christ is even saying here. Now, if you remember Nicodemus, he had a hard time understanding. He didn't understand what it meant to be born again, and he was confused, and he was looking at it in the physical realm. That's why he asked, how in the world am I going to go back to my mom and re-enter her womb and have her rebirth me? I mean, it's impossible. And she's asking here a little bit about water, and she's a little confused here. I mean, this is just water. I mean, she comes here every single day. She draws out of this well. She drinks out of it. Her livestock, her family, her friends, whoever, they drink out of this every single day. What do you mean, living water? So Jesus was talking about the spiritual. You have to understand, she's talking about the physical here. I think we live in a day and age where there's a lot of religious people, so-called, in this world that are confused when it comes to physical things of life and spiritual matters of life. She did not realize even who she's talking to. She doesn't quite understand here yet. And she's going to realize this is not just an ordinary Jew here. I mean, she doesn't realize at this point she's actually speaking to Jesus Christ himself. Verse number 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's talking about the physical water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of springing, a well of water springing up into what kind of life? Everlasting life. So he's trying to make her understand, yeah, you know, the water you're thinking about here, you're right. You drink of it, you'll thirst again. You'll have to come back tomorrow and draw water again. He said, but I'm not talking about the water, the physical water of this well. I'm talking about the spiritual water that I can offer unto you. And when you drink of my spiritual water, you'll never thirst again. Do you see that? He says, look at verse number 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, and we know he's talking about salvation here, shall do what? How long? Never. Never thirst. You know what that is? That's everlasting life. You know what that is? That's once saved, always saved. Right? Never. It doesn't say you'll never thirst again as long as you live right, do right, never break the commandments, on and on and on. What he's saying is, if you just take a drink of the water that I offer you, this living water, which is, he's talking about salvation here, you'll never thirst again. Never thirst again. So we find here that Jesus, you'll even find, another thing I want to kind of go back to here a little bit. He makes the comments in verse number 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink. And he's saying, if you only just realize I am the Son of God, I am Jesus Christ here, you'd be asking me for this living water. You'll find in verse number 11 and 12, she comments back unto him. And I think in verse number 13, where it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, I believe that she's getting off track a little bit in verse number 12. She gets off about her about Jacob and the well and how he drank out of it and his children drank out of it and their cattle drank out of it and so forth. And what do you mean, living water? I mean, they drank out of it, but yet they still had to come back and they were still thirsty. And she's off kind of in a different direction. Now, one thing I'll say about Jesus Christ right here, he always goes back and tries to make her focus on what he's talking about. When you're dealing with people and lost people, you got to keep them on track. They'll want to go off on some rabbit trails and so forth, but you can't allow that to happen. You've got to keep them focused on what is at hand here. He's talking about this living water, this everlasting life that comes from this living water that only he can give. So Jesus kept the conversation on track here in verse number 13 and verse number 14. In fact, he actually even ignores her comments about Jacob. He doesn't go down the rabbit trail of discussing Jacob and so forth. You'll find here in verse number 14 that his spiritual water, what does it give? It gives everlasting life. He uses the terms here at the end of the verse, everlasting life. How long is a person saved? It's everlasting life. How long does it last? It's everlasting. And by the way, these are the actual words of Jesus Christ. Verse number 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, verse 14, she's making some progress, but she's not there yet. His spiritual water, she was still thinking about the physical and the material, material matters, if you would, or the material terms here. She doesn't quite grasp the spiritual application. She's still a little focused on the physical. Because you'll find here in verse number 15, she says, give me some of this water. Why? So she won't thirst anymore and I won't have to come back here anymore. But physically, see, you have to realize she's thinking of physical, he's talking about the spiritual. Now, if she partakes of this everlasting water or this water of life that gives everlasting life, we're talking about the spiritual application. You understand that? Even if she partakes of that, let's say she gets born again right here at this very second, she's still going to have to come back tomorrow and get physical water. But she's close. She's getting there, but she's not quite there. She's still thinking in verse number 15 about the physical application of this water here. You'll find in verse number 16, Jesus saith unto her, so now he's going to have to switch gears just a little bit because she's not quite there. She's close. She's getting there, but she doesn't quite understand. So he kind of goes a little different direction here in verse number 16. It says, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. So he tells her to go get her husband and come back. And you'll find here in verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. She didn't elaborate. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Verse 18, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou true. Now let me ask you something. Does Jesus Christ, before he ever speaks with her, know everything about her? Sure he does. He already knew that she doesn't have a husband. She's been married five times. She's living with a man that she's not married to. And let me just stop right here just real quickly and make this statement. Jesus Christ is actually telling you that he does not approve of her lifestyle. Did you hear me? Living together is not God's plan. Being married five times is not that's not God's plan. And Jesus Christ understands this. You know, maybe I need to be careful how I word this. Jesus Christ has got to make her understand her lost state. You know, I don't know if you understand this. Most people think better themselves than what they really are. We're guilty of that as well. I've heard preachers make statements about when you're dealing with people, you got to get them lost before you never get them saved. They have to understand mentally they're lost. Jesus Christ is trying to make her understand here of her state, of her life here, where he says in verse number 17, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. Verse number 19, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a what? A prophet. Why do you think that she makes that statement? Now all of a sudden she says, you must be a prophet. Why does she say that? Does anybody want to take a shot at it? He knew stuff was going on in her life. And she's amazed. How do you know that? Because he's God. She understands a little bit now that this isn't just an ordinary Jewish man that's speaking here. Verse number 19, again, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So Jesus tells her in verse number, verse 17 and 18, Jesus talks to her a little bit. Jesus tells her to go and get her husband, and He's revealing unto her her condition, her moral condition of life. And I will say this, there can be no conversion without conviction. All right? I don't believe there's salvation without a work of the Holy Spirit of God. And I think when a person is lost, God starts working in their life and convicting them and showing them of their condition in life and how that they are a sinner. She'd been married five times in the past. She's living with a man, she needs to admit it. So we find here let's go to verse number 19. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. you'll find here that she admitted that Jesus must be a prophet, yet she was, I don't know, maybe not quite ready to admit that she was a sinner. Instead, she wanted to change the conversation a little bit here again. She's getting off track a little bit. Verse number 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Verse 25, I think it's very important. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. I personally believe that verse 25, and this is my personal opinion right here, I believe she understands. I think she finally understands, because she admits here in verse number 25 that there's one coming that's called Christ. Now, you have to understand, he hasn't revealed unto her that he's Christ as far as his name right here. I don't even know if she would have believed it at the beginning anyway. But she does make the statement at the end of verse number 25, when he is come, he will tell us all things. And he has just told her all things. He has to be somebody special. He has to be a prophet. He has to be, as she admits here in verse number 25, maybe he has to be this person called Christ, because he's someone that can tell us all things. And nobody's known my past and revealed it like this man has. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She finally understands and realizes this is Christ. He is the one that knows all things. He is the one that they've looked forward to. Verse 27 says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? The woman then left her water pot, verse number 28, and went her way into the city and saith to the what? She's very familiar with the men in town. It's been her lifestyle. Been married how many times? Been married 5 times. She's living with a man that she wasn't married to. And I don't know how many countless other men that maybe she's been associated with in life, because she hasn't been a choir girl in her life. She leaves her water pot there that day. She runs into town. And she goes back to all of her old acquaintances, her old friends, which are predominantly men here. And she says unto them in verse number 29, come, see a man which told me what? All things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? You see, that day when she left that well, she was born again. She understood. It took a little while. Jesus had to spend a little bit of time with her here. He began talking to her about water, and he classifies it as living water, talking about salvation. They go on a conversation about this water, this living water. She doesn't quite grasp and understand the spiritual application of it. So he switches gears and asks her to go get her husband. And then boy, it really started sinking in a little bit. This guy knows everything about me. She'd been married 5 times and living with a man she wasn't even married to. And Jesus works with her and talks with her and spends time with her. And then verse number 29, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. It's interesting here, several things that take place.
I like verse number 39. I've got my time's up. Look at verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city did what? Believed on him for the saying of the what? Verse 39, I like verse number 39. Verse 39 tells me there was a lot of people in Samaria, or the Samaritans, that were born again. And you know what? I know that it's Christ that saves them, but I don't think they would have ever gotten saved if it wasn't for this woman. Because in verse number 39 it says, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Now, he didn't say everything. I heard a preacher say one day, just like a woman, she exaggerates a little bit here. He didn't give everything she'd ever done in her life, but look at verse number 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there, how many days? 2 days, verse 41. And many more did what? Believed because of his own word. I don't know how many people got saved there. Jesus Christ was only there for a few days. But I will say this, and I think, would you not agree? A lot of people get saved there. Is that right? But it all started with one. It started with one. You take that one woman out, I don't know if this happens. You have to understand here, it was she. It runs back. She even leaves her water pot. She runs to town. She finds all the old men that she was acquainted with. Says, "You got to come see this guy. I mean, he knew everything about me." And many believe because of one woman that he met at Jacob's well. May I make sure we understand this morning? She was not a choir girl. Are y'all with me this morning? She did not have a good lifestyle. She was not someone that you would want your daughter to be good friends with. Right? She would not be someone you would want your son to marry. But it just goes to show you a little bit of how God looks at somebody and how we look at somebody. Because if she doesn't get saved at that well, you could probably say a lot of those people in Samaria would not have gotten saved in those few days. It all started with a woman at a well. That even the Word of God says that he must needs go there. Right? The reason he must needs go there is because there's going to be a Samaritan woman that walks up to that well on that day that needs to be saved. She does get saved, and she goes to town, and she testifies to the entire... I believe she goes everywhere in that town telling everybody, "You're not going to believe what happened to me." And many, many get saved because of one Samaritan woman. And may I remind you, she's been married 5 times. 5. She's not married to someone that she's living with. She's living with a man that she's not even married to. And God chooses her and uses her to do something amazing. And many people get saved, and they would have to point a finger back at her and say, "If it were not for her, I probably wouldn't be saved today." It's a tremendous story here. An amazing story, and may we take what we can learn here this morning and realize that maybe we need to be bold in our witness. Maybe we need to maybe quit steering away from people that look very hard and very difficult and very hardened on the outside, and may we realize that that may be the one that's crying out, "I just need somebody to tell me." And that's all this woman needed. She just needed someone to tell her about living water. May we take it and may we use it in our own life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for our time this morning. We pray for your blessings upon the service today. May you speak to our hearts. May you do a work in our life. And Lord, may we be challenged this morning to go out into this dark, dark world. And Lord, how many people do we pass in a week? And we can look at them and tell they probably live a life that's probably not the kind of life that would resemble someone that loves you and maybe attends church and walks with you. Lord, may we not steer away from them, but may we tell them about living water that only Christ gives. Lord, may you help us to be bold in our witness. Help us to be strong in our witness. May you give us strength. May you give us strength. May you give us wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.